It's a beautiful album, and it introduced me, I have to say, to a couple of sonatas that I was not really familiar with, the Chopin and the Grieg.
Oh, great.
Now, I know this is your first release together, your first recording together. Did you come together as a duo just for this project or for something else? Can you talk a little bit about the origins of your collaboration?
So I first heard about Yuho from my producer, Dahong, who recommended him warmly. And then I came to hear him play. I was really impressed and I loved his playing. And then we met to read some stuff, and we had a really good chemistry, and I think we were on the same page, musically speaking. And so then I asked him if he'd like to record with me, and he said yes. And then now we are planning already our second recording. And in the meantime, we had a few concerts. We just got back from Berlin, where we played, and we're playing again in Tannery Pond on Saturday. So, yes.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how you decided on these three pieces for this album? Was it your idea to begin with to put these together, or did it evolve?
Well, I asked Yuho to play the Chopin Sonata because I was kind of open, but I really love the Chopin Sonata. I played it for many years, and I feel like I play it well. And I also could never really find a recording that I really loved, so that was great that he agreed to it, and then he wanted...
I wanted to play the Grieg Sonata because Grieg is very close to me, musically speaking, and I really adore the cello sonata. So yeah. I wanted to play that one. So I was very glad that Inbal agreed to do it.
Oh, okay. So you sort of brought the Grieg to the table, as it were.
Yes.
And Inbal, had you ever performed that Grieg sonata before?
Not only did I not perform it, I never even heard it.
Wow.
Because I make a point of not listening to pieces that are important and then I'm planning to learn at some point so as to make my own, decisions and not be influenced.
So you don't want to listen to somebody else's version of it.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, it doesn't always happen, but I try.
Well, it's such a charming piece. Let's talk about that Grieg sonata a little bit. The first thing that struck me was the ending of the first movement is so reminiscent of the piano concerto. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. The whole piece is like piano concerto number two.
Yeah.
He uses the same themes, same motifs, and same harmonies everywhere. So not just the ending of the first movement is similar to the first movement ending of the concerto, but also the third movement. And in the second movement, he's using themes from the concerto also.
I know he wrote the piano concerto when he was very young, maybe 24 years old, something like that.
Yes.
Where does this fit in to his oeuvre?
This is later.
Okay.
But not much, I think.
So he was looking back a little bit on his prior compositions.
Well, I think if you have a great idea, why not to reuse it?
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, his brother was an amateur cellist, so maybe he was doing it as a gesture.
Yeah. How do you find, Inbal, the cello writing? How does it differ between these three composers? I mean, these are three quintessential romantic composers. They each have their own voice. Do they approach the cello differently for you?
Yes. Well, we agree that the Schumann was the most difficult. Well, he wrote it for clarinet, so maybe it doesn't count as... It's not as idiomatic, but musically it's more ambiguous. I think it doesn't play by itself so much, and there was a lot of decisions that had to be made. And with a Chopin and Grieg, it's a little more spontaneous. There's more room for improvisation.
Yeah. When you talk about decisions that had to be made with the Schumann, does that mean because it was written for the clarinet, you have to change some things around, or how does that work?
Well, yes, somewhat. Some articulation is changed. Something that we'll do, maybe shorter strokes. We'll do longer strokes because we look at the clarinet part and it has different articulation. for example, the musical slurs that Schumann wrote in are not practical for cellists. So they might be for clarinetists, but we have to divide a lot of them to make it work.
Interesting. On that note, I'll just say that I got wrapped up in your little series of mini masterclasses today on your website. Because we don't think necessarily about all the little technical ins and outs of playing the cello. And it provides an insight. I know that you're sort of talking to, you know, fellow players or students. But I think just for, you know, people who don't play the cello or are interested in it, it's interesting to see all the things that go into.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'll take anybody who's interested. I was happy to talk to a broader audience.
Yeah, those are on YouTube. We'll link to both of your websites from our website as well.
Thanks.
Let's go back and talk about Chopin a little bit, because it's in some ways a little bit of a bittersweet sonata, you know, being the last piece that he published, the last piece that he actually performed in public. And right. I hear a little bit of, for lack of a better word, a little bit of melancholy in there, a little bit of angst, I guess you could say. I mean, would you agree with that? How would you characterize that sonata?
Well, definitely melancholic. I think there's still a little bit optimism somewhere to be found.
We know Chopin is a pianist, of course, but he wrote a number of works for the cello. How do his piano works in collaboration with the cello compare to his solo works? I assume you've played your fair share of Chopin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Chopin really admired cello as an instrument because of the ability to make things sing like a real singer. And that's what he was, of course, aiming for also when he composed for solo piano. But obviously, with an instrument which sound always decays as a piano, there has to be always compromises. So with cello, I think he had a way to really do whatever he wanted to hear in his music.
Mm. I know you brought in your own piano for this recording, right?
Yes, a Hamburg Steinway, a bit unusual in the States.
Yeah, we brought it actually all the way from California. It made a two-week, I think, journey on a truck.
It arrived in one piece.
Yes.
Luckily. You had some history with that piano? I mean, was it your piano or had you played it before?
I have performed on this piano on some festivals, and I really like playing on it because it's so responsive in many ways.
Well, I've always wondered about pianists, especially ones who go on the road. And I've read an interview with you, Juho, where you talk about how in different live venues you may tailor your playing a little bit to where you are. And I imagine playing a different piano every time would bring up a whole bunch of challenges for you. So in the recording studio, it's a little more controlled then, right?
In a way. But of course, then the acoustics of the recording studio are also different. And the way pianos react to the acoustics, you never know how they actually are going to sound like.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very exciting challenge for me because I like trying out different pianos and different concert halls. And I'm always very interested in how they change my playing. Because every different instrument has a different way of phrasing ideally.
Well, Inbal, I know that you play on a cello that is, what, 3.5 centuries old, just about.
Yes.
Wonderful instrument. And I want to hear a little bit about your instrument. But you also have some really interesting things to say about working in the recording studio and what you're able to accomplish in the studio that you can't necessarily do in the concert hall.
Oh, for sure, yeah. So first, my cello is a 1673 instrument that was made around the time that Stradivarius made his violins, famous violins and cellos too, and in Cremona. And it's made by Francesco Ruggeri. He's a very famous maker for cellos especially, but also violins. And yeah, it's a wonderful instrument. It has that depth, but also kind of can cut through an orchestra or even playing the piano. And yeah, what we can achieve in the studio is really interesting. For example, we can play pianissimos that sometimes are not practical in a concert hall because they're not going to translate. If you can hear in the recording, for example, the very last pizzicato in the slow movement of the Grieg sonata goes to nothing, and it really almost is nothing. You can barely hear it, so I don't think I can ever play like that in a real concert.
That's interesting. So it affects a little bit of how you approach the piece, obviously. But you also talk about how cellos sounded differently when this music was being written. You had different kinds of strings and a different sound to begin with.
Right. So absolutely. They used gut strings back even in Chopin's time, and it had a more guttural sound. And I myself love the way the modern setup is, so I'm maybe not partial. I'm partial, but yeah. I think that the fact that the instrument is so old and just beautiful instrument comes through the recording very well. Plus, our engineer is really terrific.
Well, it's interesting how the older a cello is, the better it gets, kind of like wine. And pianos, if they're really old, I don't know if you want to bring those into the recording
right.
studio.
Yeah, it's quite much the opposite with pianos.
Yeah. But speaking of old pianos, though, I'm looking at the cover photo for your album here, which is a beautiful picture. And
Thanks.
Like a little keyboard in the back, broken down keyboard against the wall.
Yeah, we're going back and forth whether we should keep it in the photo or not. And then we decided to keep it. It was cute.
Yeah. Is it a real piano keyboard or?
It looks like it was found on the site where we took the photos. So.
Oh, really?
I don't know about the history of that keyboard.
Where did you make the photos?
Somewhere in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't rip that keyboard off a real piano, so no.
No pianos
were harmed. No harm done, yeah.
Cellist Inbal Segev and pianist Juho Pohjonen. Their latest album from Avi Records has cello sonatas by Frederick Chopin, Robert Schumann, and Edvard Grieg. Congratulations on your new album, and thanks for joining us today here on FM 91.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.